Dear shooter, so you want a concealed carry license. You may need to revet your instructor. What about open carry? Well, we have opinions on that. If all else fails, there is always that Mountain Dew can. But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you need to make
a clip on, it's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that, that isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
So, okay, so we're talking about concealed carry. And Colorado strikes again.
Well, they do now.
So it was House Bill 24-1174.
Okay, so what do they want to do it now?
No, it's passed. It has been signed into law, goes into effect July 1, 2025.
So this got proposed last session.
Yes.
Okay.
What it does is that it says the handgun training classes for a concealed carry permit must be conducted by a verified instructor. Instructors get verified by county sheriffs.
Well, on its face, I can see where they wanted that to be a thing.
Yeah.
How did they execute it?
So, I knew about this, and I had, was talking to some other friends of mine that are in Colorado, and a lot of them have chosen that they're just not going to do this, and they're going to not do concealed carry classes.
Now, in Colorado, are you required to take a concealed carry class?
Yes. You have to take a class to
get
your permit.
So, not like us, where hunter safety gets you through?
Correct.
Yeah. Constitutional carry in Wyoming negates the need for a permit.
Right. But I got looking into this because I had some of my students reach out to me and go, hey, are you still going to be able to teach classes down here? And I thought, well, let me take a look. And what I'm going to end up having to do, I have questions. I'm going to probably end up having to call one of the sheriff's offices down there and get some answers on this. But just looking at their website for instructors, and what you have to do is you have to download this document, fill it out as an application. And then you have to, there's required documents that are supposed to be included with this when you send it in. One is your current concealed handgun permit, a copy of your, they specify, Colorado driver's license, copy of your course curriculum for each course that you're instructing, and a signed copy of the requirements form or your application.
That's a pretty heavy-handed request, considering you have to personally hold a concealed carry permit in Colorado.
Right.
And they want your curriculum.
Yeah.
I don't know any instructor that's just going to give that up.
No. And for a couple of reasons. Number one, you don't want to give up the farm.
That's how you make money.
Right. But number two, and, you know, we've talked about this before, I don't always know what the hell the curriculum is going to be because the curriculum is based on the class.
Well, you tell that sheriff there that you need, I will send you my course curriculum, but I need an NDA first.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. But so, question. Say this sheriff takes a look at your information and he does verify you. Are you only then eligible to teach in his jurisdiction?
Not from what I understand. I've been trying to muddle through exactly what this law says, but if as long as you are certified by a Colorado sheriff, even if you're not in that county, you're still qualified.
So this is going to fall back to the judgment and discretion.
Right. It's back to May issue.
So can you go to Cheyenne and get a driver's license in Cheyenne? Because that's just a suburb of Fort Collins.
I mean, while technically you are correct, I'm not sure that legally that's going to work. But the interesting thing is the list of credentials. People that aren't from Colorado are not going to be able to teach in Colorado.
Right.
Does it block all your classes at that point?
No. It all this is that I cannot certify someone in Colorado for a Colorado concealed handgun permit. That's all this is.
And is Colorado the only state that's going to be doing this, or we got other ones following?
I will guarantee you, Colorado gets away with it. There's going to be some other states that are going to try and follow suit. Now, I think at the end of the day, I think a lot of this is going to get completely negated, because one of the things that Trump has talked about is national reciprocity and national reciprocity with constitutional carry.
Well, that'll negate the Colorado permit process.
Altogether. It would, you know,
because as a constitutional carry state that I live in, I would not be prohibited to conceal carry in Colorado.
No, and Wyoming is one of the only states with not only constitutional carry, but without the requirement that you be a resident. If you
correct,
yeah, if as long as you are legal to own a firearm, you can conceal carry in Wyoming without a permit.
Yeah, you can carry how you want to. Nobody cares.
Right.
Interesting. So, on one hand, the feds are doing something, and I saw GOA starting to promote this, that directly conflicts with what Colorado's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker. But from a sheer business standpoint, maybe it would behoove you to reach out to who's the sheriff in the county of where Great Guns is at. I mean, you train down there a lot.
I do.
And reach out to that sheriff and say, okay, walk me through this.
Right.
Am I done in Colorado? Or do I just need to come see you and get certified?
Right, and that's what I'm going to end up having to do. And I'll probably, I think what I'm going to do is reach out to our friend Michael Bain, because I know he knows his sheriff very, very well.
That'd be an easy conversation.
And as long as this extends to the entire state, as long as I'm verified by at least one sheriff there,
right,
I'm good to go.
Right. Okay, so...
Except for your documentation isn't what they want.
Well, it's not what they want. And here's the other problem with it, too, is the requirements for a concealed carry handgun class in Colorado is not how I teach classes, because there's a written portion, there's a shooting portion, there's a legal portion. Look, I teach you how to defend yourself with a firearm. You can go on the internet and figure out what the laws are and the statutes are.
Well, you're not a lawyer. You can't.
I'm not
tell
a lawyer.
Them.
No,
exactly.
But you're just doing the firearms handling portion of the certification of the individual's
right.
process.
Right.
I mean, you are not issuing a permit.
No.
You're saying this person has passed the practical with enough proficiency.
Right.
That there's nothing to prohibit them from concealed carry.
Right. And at the end of the day, the way I feel about it, it's your weapons handling, how you handle yourself in public, it's your shooting ability. Those are the things that at the end of the day, if things really go down, that's what counts. That's what keeps you alive at the end of the day. It's not, well, I violated this statute.
Yeah, and that for me, I don't know. I've been spoiled living in a constitutional carry state for so long that I don't even let it cross my mind most of the time.
I know.
But the concept behind concealed carry is the idea that nobody knows you have it.
Right.
And concealed carry permit holders represent the top 1% of law-abiding citizenship.
They do. They actually, concealed carry permit holders are more law-abiding, like a lot, than law enforcement.
Correct. And at the end of the day, the nature of concealed carry is nobody knows you have it, right? The whole point is to conceal it.
Right.
And it's nobody's business what you have on you. The only time that this would come into a problem is you did something that had a conversation with law enforcement and they found you had something concealed.
Right.
Then there's another charge they could throw at you.
Right.
So the whole permit process for me is silly anyway.
It is. And it's always bothered me in the fact that the Second Amendment is the only one that we really, truly require a permit to exercise.
It's also the only one that we infringe upon without any due process.
Right.
So, you know, with concealed carry, what about here? In some states, you can open carry. So in Nebraska, they're an open carry state.
In Colorado, can you open carry?
I believe you can. So, yeah, so you can open carry in Colorado.
Okay.
I would not advise it in any of the major cities.
No, you'll get turned in for brandishing by having it on your hip and in the holster.
Oh, God. And
you get that in Wyoming, too.
Karens are everywhere.
Yeah. But let me ask you this, and because I ran into this over the weekend. Why is it the people that open carry have the shittiest gear?
I see it a lot.
I mean, I would be hiding that shit. It may be functional, but my God.
Yeah, I see it a lot. And a lot of the times the open carry folks are lazy. There's not a whole lot of thought process going into having that firearm with them for a defensive purpose.
Right.
A lot of them are doing it to be seen having the firearm as if it gives them status.
Right.
So inherently they're lazy. It's the Kydex or the foam covered canvas.
I like the vest like looking rigs.
Yeah. I hate to call out a holster maker, but Uncle Mike's is the stereotypical lazy open carry holster.
I'm not gonna rag on Uncle Mike's because they have kind of stepped up their game in the last couple of years.
Sure, but that's not the one you see.
No, it's the old like nylon. Right. I mean, and that's what I saw. And the gun that was in it, I couldn't even identify it. I can tell you, I can tell you it was European and it was old.
All right, so he picked up an inheritance from somebody.
Yeah, that's why he's open carry. And it's pretty.
I know. No, it was not pretty. Okay. And my guess is that it was full of ball ammunition with corrosive primers, and there wasn't one chambered.
You can pick some of that stuff out. You absolutely can. I've seen situations where people are open carrying, and they threaded their belt through the trigger guard. It does them absolutely no good, but they've got one on their hip.
Huh.
You can spin that sucker and give it a shot.
Yeah, you can shoot yourself in the leg. There's no way around it.
That's why you don't carry one chambered.
Oh, God, paperweights. So open carry opens up a whole other set of bag of worms. Don't get me wrong. If you want to exercise your Second Amendment right and carry open, do so. But do so with some thought process. I mean, we've said it before. You're carrying a firearm. You are agreeing that somebody may get shot.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to use that in defense of your life or somebody else's. And if it falls out getting the groceries put in the car and you drive away in the Walmart parking lot, it doesn't do you any good.
Right.
If you can't get it out because you threaded your belt through the trigger guard, it still doesn't do you any good.
Well,
thank you for playing.
That's maximum retention right there.
Yeah. Darwin has awards for this, and they come pretty fast.
Is there a chance with open carry someone actually getting your firearm from you before you even pull?
Actually, yes. If somebody is choosing to target you, one of the first things they're going to try and do is take your firearm from you.
Mm-hmm.
But it is out in the open on full display. So you've kind of opened that door for them.
Well, yeah, you just put a shoot me first sticker
Correct.
On you. Now, you were showing me a holster the other day, and I can't remember who made it. But we were looking at the retention, and I was asking the question, you know, what about, can you change out the holster? It was a vest system.
Oh, yeah, it was a chest rig for your binocular setup.
Yeah.
It was an Uncle Mike's knockoff that was sewn into a Molly side of the binocular harness, and it was strapped down so tight that you couldn't get to it if you wanted to in a hurry.
Right.
I get that you don't want to, you know, let your pistol fall out when you're rock climbing up a waterfall hunting or some shit, but there are better solutions out there. There just are. Back to what are you going to be doing with it,
mm-hmm.
right? If you are running in a law enforcement situation, you want level 3 retention.
Well, yeah.
A thumb drive or some hooded apparatus that keeps it from being taken from you.
Right.
If you're concealed carrying, for me, that's a Kydex.
Mm-hmm.
It has good enough retention for it not to fall out if I stumble and fall down some stairs. And I can get to it when I want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to prohibit me from presenting that firearm if the threat arises.
Right.
But the thought process on how you're going to carry for what situation is going to drive the gear.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I don't think people put enough thought into holsters.
Well, to be fair, there's a lot of holster makers making holsters that have no thought and no real use.
Yeah.
As with anything, it becomes more fashion than function.
Right.
And, sorry, wrong idea. Well, it's got to work for you first.
Right.
Then make it pretty.
Absolutely. You know, and, well, and I hesitate to start talking about pocket carry.
You have several.
It's not a pocket.
So there are folks out there that make solutions to keep that pistol from sloppily running around inside your pocket. That's where the sticky brand came from. There's a rubberized coating on the outside of the sleeve that your pistol fits into, and that sticky material keeps it from moving around in your pocket.
Right.
You usually have kind of a hook on it, so when you do draw it out, there is a way for that sleeve to stay in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a super fan of the small, ultra-small pistols. They may work as a belly gun, but they are an expert's tool.
They are.
And so concealed carrying it, I get it. You want it to be about the size of your pocket knife. But, again, back to effectiveness.
Well, you know, some of the girls that are doing the belly bands are hiding it up under their boob. If they're an A cup, they need those tiny guns.
Agreed. But my question is, can you use that?
Yeah, and it makes your boob look weird.
A little asymmetric, nothing to be worried about. But can you use that firearm in the defense of yourself and others? It comes down to function, right?
It does, and that's the thing. Most people, I think, don't think about, because they think about carry for comfort and convenience. And I get that. Like, if it's not comfortable, you're not going to carry it. But
sadly, that is the thought process in its entirety.
But at the same time, like, you need to carry it in such a way that if you need it, you can get to it in a split second, because that's how much time you have. You have the rest of your life to figure it out, and that in very long.
And Hollywood's not done us any favors. They show the action hero carrying concealed or a shoulder rig or under a jacket, and there's lots of different methods that are cool. Miami Vice used to do it, maybe make me absolutely crazy, but they show these things as a fashionable, cool thing rather than a functional thing.
Right.
And people grab onto that and think that's how it should be done.
Well, you know, the one that just makes me crazy is the belt or like the pocket clip, like you got the clip on your knife that goes on the side of your Glock. It just screws on.
Oh, yeah. It goes underneath the side plate of a 1911. I've seen those.
Yeah.
And it could make a pocket clip, like on your pocket knife, out of your pistol.
That's not a holster.
No. No. That's not a holster.
You are asking for a disaster.
Yes.
And afterwards, you're probably going to need a drink. So on that note, let's talk to 10th Mountain.
All right.
If you haven't tried 10th Mountain Whiskey, can you even call yourself a shooter? Okay, Mr. AK guy that only drinks vodka. 10th Mountain has that too. Still too much? Maybe that cordial would suit your unrefined palate. But for you real pipe hitters out there, the single malt can't be beat. Whiskey is an acquired taste. And if you don't like whiskey, I suggest you acquire some taste. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. It's whiskey worth fighting for.
So we were talking about concealed carry before we went and got a refill. You can always have your wife carry it for you.
She doesn't have big enough pockets.
Wait, what? I have to ask permission to get my gun out?
Well, one guy in Michigan did.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
All
right, so I got to know more. You've intrigued me. I mean, I've heard of guys having his balls in his wife's purse, but his pistol, too?
Same thing, yeah.
Okay, and this gets even better, because this was a director of the Wayne County, Michigan Parks Division.
All right.
Her name's Alicia Bradford, her and her husband Larry Bradford. They were out, they stopped at a convenience store. Larry goes in to, I don't know what he was picking up, but there was a guy in line in front of him arguing with the clerk over a 10-cent bottle tax. He's screaming at
Larry was arguing with the other customer.
No, he was behind this guy in line. This guy is screaming and yelling at the clerk over a 10-cent bottle tax, and his argument was that groceries aren't taxed. Well, this has nothing to do with that. This is a state thing.
It's a deposit.
Right.
Okay.
So you bring your bottles
back.
Yeah, it's
been around forever.
Yeah.
So Larry, trying to de-escalate the situation, taps the guy on the shoulder and goes, hey, you know, she can't do anything about this. Lay off. He turns around, shoves Larry. They get into a scuffle. He runs back outside. Larry runs back outside, knocks on the window, asks his wife for his gun.
Okay, so no longer can he say he's de-escalating the situation.
Yeah, no. So
well, there's a point before he got his gun when they're wrestling around. He beats this dude with a Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
So assaults already happened.
Right.
He went outside to ratchet up said assault.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it gets better. He goes back in with his gun. Makes this guy get on his knees and apologize. In the meantime, his wife comes in with her gun. So now we have two people in the store holding this guy at gunpoint, making him apologize.
Oh, there's lots of problems here. Where do you start with any of it? I mean,
well, and she works for Bugs and Bunnies, so she should know better.
I'm not sure that that's an accurate statement. I mean, you're right, should know better. Just being a normal person, but Bugs and Bunny employment doesn't necessarily make you an authority.
Well, I don't know if this is Bugs and Bunnies or this is like city parks.
Either way. So the dude goes outside, says, hey, babe, can I have my gun?
Yeah.
And she goes, what's going on? He goes, I'll tell you later. Give me my gun. She's nice enough to give him his firearm. He goes back inside.
Right.
To add fuel to this fire over a 10-cent bottle tax.
And now premeditated.
Oh, yeah. This is thought through very poorly, but it's definitely thought through. And then she comes into the aid of her husband, who evidently she clearly doesn't think he can handle the situation. Holy moly. How did this get resolved, or do we know?
I'm not entirely sure. I know she is suspended. I mean, it's bad. Now, she was just, she seemed surprised about the charges, and apparently in 2019, she got suspended again for granting $10,000 in county contracts to her stepdaughter.
All right.
So,
all right.
She's not exactly a model citizen
to begin
with. Fair
enough, but why did the news agency feel that was a detail that they felt compelled to add to the story?
All I can think of is background.
Sure, but it's like you get the homeowners association and say, well, he leaves his trash can out. I'm over the tattletale.
Yeah.
I'm completely over that bullshit. And whether she misappropriated funds to some nepotism issue or not has no bearing on anything in the discussion of what we're talking about here.
No. But so how do we dissect this? I mean, it's wrong chasing wrong.
Right. So course of action for me, had I been the guy standing behind the guy arguing, right? Maybe make a comment about the guy behind the counter can't help you, dude. He's a minimum wage worker.
Right.
And not engage him in a physical altercation.
No.
Not beat him with a Mountain Dew can.
Not just engage him while he had it on his knees with a gun in his face, tells him, I should kill you. I should fucking blow your fucking brains out over this 10-cent deposit.
Lordy.
Dude, when was a 10-cent deposit something worth?
I've never seen a clearer case of aggravated assault and brandishing. In an unnecessary situation ever.
Right.
I mean,
this is bad.
Wow, we've come off the rails. And I am usually in support of somebody helping the convenience store clerk out.
Right.
They have a shit job at often shit pay. They're not paid to handle that kind of crap. I mean, it happens a lot, but they're not paid for it.
No.
And this guy just made things 100 times worse by being an idiot.
Right.
I mean, truly, an idiot.
And not only just worse, like, he created a massively dangerous situation. Because what, okay, so let's say that the guy that he's got on the ground with the gun, we don't know what this guy can do. You know, how hard would it have been for this guy to get a hold of that gun and kill them all?
I have no clue. And, I mean, it wasn't Jason Bourne, clearly.
No, but I would have sided with the guy that started the whole damn thing, because now he's defending his life.
Once the firearm got presented, the situation has changed.
Substantially.
And the guy that brought it back into the store?
Yeah.
Totally in the wrong.
That's the thing, too, because we preach, like, just get out of the situation. Once you're out, call the cops. Let them handle it.
That's right.
But I think he had gotten himself so embedded in the situation by that point, there was no backing out of it.
Just out of curiosity, do we know where this happened?
Yes, it is in Michigan.
Is Michigan a responsibility to retreat state?
I don't know.
Because if so, he broke all kinds of things going back in.
Right.
Yes, Michigan is a stand your ground state, and it says that means you can use lethal force to defend yourself or others without the obligation to retreat.
But
he did retreat to his car.
Yeah, he had already retreated.
But he went back in. So he kind of went looking for it.
Yes. Which negates the stand your ground.
Agreed. So he can't even claim that as a defense now.
No, because stand your ground is, you know, you are in a place, in a situation mm-hmm. that you are legal to be, and you don't have an avenue of escape.
Correct. You're not obligated to make that effort.
Right.
And not only did he make that effort, he went back in.
Yeah.
Wow. I got nothing on.
Do we know if the first guy, if the guy that he beat up and held at gunpoint, was there any kind of, was he drunk? Was he high? Do we know any of that?
It does not mention any of that for any of the parties involved.
Okay.
So this all happened sober?
It may not have, because apparently this happened on New Year's Eve.
Tequila, you need to step up your game. Holy moly.
I'll link to this article, and I encourage you guys to actually read this thing, because this is, I guess it could be.
I think you got the story wrong, because it did say Larry Bradford was the one arguing about the deposit fee. It was the customer that was with the store clerk.
No, that's what I said.
So, yeah, and then beating somebody with a can of Mountain Dew. So if y'all can't get your concealed carry in,
I mean, at least he could have done it. Use a twisted tea.
Okay. That convenience store may not sell that. I don't know if they have that license.
Does Michigan allow beer being sold out?
A couple of years ago,
store?
You remember that dude, right? He'd had enough of that one guy.
Oh, yes.
Hammered him with a twisted tea. He was done. He was out cold.
But, no, and I'll link to this article, and I encourage you guys to actually take a look at it and read it, because this, I swear to God, I'm going to use this as a textbook example of everything not to do.
Yeah, and this is what's wrong with some portions of our two-way community that make it hard for the rest of us to show that the sensible nature of the two-way community. This is what the other side grabs onto and paints us with this brush as rogues and monsters.
Well, I was actually surprised. I found this. I think this was Truth About Guns is where I found this. And I was really kind of shocked that I didn't find it on the Moms Demand Furries for their transgender children. But because this is bad.
It couldn't get worse, in my opinion, unless you actually pulled
maybe,
the trigger.
Because if you think about it, if he would have actually been carrying on his person instead of going to the car and coming back, would he have just shot the guy right there if he was carrying?
He may have, but
in the scuffle, it may have done that.
But he went out to the car first, so even though he made a poor decision,
yes,
he didn't shoot him.
But in the scuffle, I could see some justification for it.
I couldn't.
Going out to come back in negates all of the grace I would have given the guy.
Because I can't even give him that. And the reason I say that is because in the scuffle, he was the aggressor and he had the upper hand.
Well, the Mountain Dew gave him that.
I mean, but to my point, like, he was not an imminent threat of serious bodily harm or death.
Depends on how bad the scuffle was.
It must not have been that bad if he had time to walk out to the car, go get his gun, and come back.
True.
And what is the response time of their police department? Because as the store clerk, I think I'd have 911 on the phone because the clerk doesn't seem to be involved in any of it. Like, they don't even know he exists anymore. He, she.
He went out back and had a smoke.
Yeah.
Break time. They've got this.
I'm not getting paid enough to deal with this. I'm out.
So,
you know that's what he did. All right.
But yeah, dear shooter, don't do this.
Yeah, clearly this is not something that we would advocate for.
All right, so moving on. Last but not least, we've got, and I don't know what's more the story or the CBS investigation of the story, because they're both absolutely asinine. So what's this investigation is about? CBS is doing this investigation about law enforcement using their credentials to purchase weapons that those of us in the real world can't have. And they're talking about full auto.
So we're talking class 3 stuff.
Class 3 stuff, but they're using their law enforcement credentials to take them and buy them and then turn around and sell them.
And are they doing this as an individual or as an agency?
As an individual, the way I understand
this. Well, you'd have to go through your agency to acquire that firearm,
right.
But then they're going home and selling them to the civilian population.
I don't know of a single law enforcement agency that allows an agency purchase of a Class 3 item and an individual gets access to it. So they're stealing from the law enforcement agency.
Well, and even if you're law enforcement, you have to fill out the class.
Well, yeah, but your credentials, and if it's an agency purchase, there's a gray area for that for the LE guys. As an agency purchase, they can get those, and they can acquire them for their SWAT units or their SRT teams, but it's an agency buy. As a personal purchase, they still got to go through all the Class 3 rigmarole to own it on a personal level, because when they're off duty, they are civilian.
Well, here's the thing, because the story states, and I don't know how true it is, if LE can even get these firearms, because, yeah, I think Class 3 is an understatement. Go ahead, and this person who's investigating, what does she say these firearms can do?
Well, and let me premise this, because again, I'm going to link to this article, and I'm going to let you guys see if you can sort it out, because the article is more about the idiocy of this Aaron Cauchy, CBS News crime and public safety unit producer, because she's going through this and some of the things that she's saying. She's a moron when it comes to how the laws around firearms actually work. So
the left always is.
I'm wondering, and I'd like to find some other information on this, because I really truly think that this is much to do about nothing, and she doesn't know what she's talking about.
It's the ghost gun thing over again, if that's
it is. Because one of the things that she says, she talks about that these weapons are usually deemed too dangerous to be on the streets. She's quoted as saying, just to give you a sense of what kind of weapons these could take out an armored tank. They could go through a building and at the other side hit a target 18 football fields away. They can take out a military helicopter.
If law enforcement get their hands on that shit, I'm going to go into criminal justice and be a law enforcement person.
You know, civilians can get their hands on a 20-millimeter anti-tank round. 50 caliber with the right incendiary rounds. That's all out there for purchase. But if they're using the agency credentials to do it, and then they're selling them to civilians out the back door in the police evidence van, however you look at it, that's a criminal and multiple felonies.
And how much is really truth behind it? Because she doesn't mention a state, a territory, anything of the law enforcement agency that's doing it, or is it a blanket coast to coast? They're all doing it.
This reads to me like the sky is falling. I don't know what I'm talking about.
And that's exactly what is going on. You know, what she talks about is she says that they're using their access to law enforcement officials to gain access to things that otherwise wouldn't be on the market, talking about these end user civilians. And she goes on to say, in the most egregious cases, these were battlefield weapons.
And again, it's rhetoric for the sake of rhetoric. I know a private citizen in Colorado that recently bought a Modus, right? It's a semi-auto version of that battlefield weapon, if you will, but it's completely civilian legal.
Right.
She has clearly a disconnect of reality, but it just put it out there for you guys. Dear shooter, if you see an MP5 being sold out of a police evidence van, do not buy that.
It might be a zombie gun.
It might be a zombie gun.
Come
we
back
covered
to
those.
We did.
Organ transplant.
You're right. Be careful. Check that serial number. But yeah, I'll link to this because I had to read this thing like four times to even grasp what they were talking about.
If it's got legs, we'll hear more about it.
Oh, I'm sure. So until then, we'll be back from SHOT Show next week.
We may or may not be healthy. We'll see.
Yeah, the health is always a question, but we're guaranteed to have some stories, and hopefully we're going to bring you guys some cool shit. I'm hoping we see some new stuff.
Absolutely.
So until then, we'll be back. You guys just keep blaming your gun.